This just might shape up to be one of the biggest legislative elections in Kansas in a generation. And to help you sort through it, we bring in the two Republican candidates facing off in District 21 House race in Northeast Johnson County. That's from State Line to Metcalf, taking in parts of Prairie Village, Mission Hills, a chunk of Overland Park. Am I right? What am I missing?
Correct.
And a little bit of Leawood.
And a little bit of Leawood. Pleased to have Neil Melton with us, Dorothy Hughes. Thanks for making time to come in and chat with us.
Absolutely.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yep. Just to round out the field, just want to let you know that it's Jerry Stogsdill is the Democrat in the race. And whoever wins here, I hope that we'll have whoever wins here and Jerry back on Up to Date. I want to get to know both of you, so take 2 minutes and 2 minutes only to give me your bio. Neil, go.
Neil Melton. Family originally moved to Kansas. My father was a military officer, and so I grew up in Leavenworth. From the first grade on, and I'm a graduate of the University of Kansas, have lived in Johnson County for 10 years, and my background before I guess I started my professional career, I was in the military, and during college I served in Iraq, and so have 10 years of military experience, and then my profession today is in mortgage lending. And I've done that and some other real estate investments as well. So kind of a real estate type of background.
Real quickly, what branch of the military, what was your job?
I was in the Army, and I was in transportation.
Dorothy, 2 minutes. Tell me about you.
Of course. Thanks, Sam. So I am a healthcare consultant while pursuing my PhD in health policy and management. And most of my 14-year career has been spent in and around public policy. I got my start as a legislative assistant in the U.S. House and then came here to Kansas City, where I've been for 10 years. And I've served as the government relations liaison at KU Medical Center and at KU Hospital before doing what I do now. So that's a little bit about my professional experience. I grew up in central Kansas, graduating from McPherson High School. And so I really hope to be able to bridge that gap of rural and urban and work with my counterparts around the state.
All right. Just before we move on, you can take me out of State House Blend, but you can't take the State House Blend out of me. Tell me about your kids. Or your family? Wives, partners,
no
pets.
Children.
Come on, you guys, help me out here.
Yeah, I'm not married, no kids, but I do have a fantastic Great Pyrenees dog, Maggie, who is stubborn and very furry.
It's just me. So
wow.
Yeah, right, yeah. I babysit my family and friends' pets, so I think that counts for something.
All right, well, maybe after the election, we'll have you back, and we'll check in on whether you have a dog or a cat. I want to get to tax policy in the state, which I think we're going to hear some disagreement on between you two. But the biggest issue facing Kansas, I think, right now is how to fund schools. The legislature is going to have to write a new funding formula come January. So I want to hear from both of you about what you think needs to be in that formula. And Dorothy, I'm going to start with you.
Sure. Well, I think it is important to take into account the differences across districts. I understand that the previous formula is very complex with a lot of weightings for a lot of different things. And I don't think that we can completely get rid of, all of those things. Some districts have more special needs students. Some have more English as a second language students. And we need to be mindful of all of that. But I also think it's really important that we be fair, equitable, make sure there's adequate funding for all districts, and that we're looking at that in as objective a manner as we can. There are a lot of numbers thrown around in this discussion, and I think we all need to be really honest about what's being included in those numbers so that we can make good decisions going forward.
I'm hearing you sort of suggest that you're happy with the old funding formula that was replaced by block grants. Are you telling me that, or do you think there needs to be some adjustments?
No, I wouldn't say happy with it. I do think changes need to be made going forward, and we certainly need in Johnson County to have the flexibility to do what's right for our students here. And so I think that flexibility, a focus on local control, all of that needs to be part of the discussion as we move into a new formula.
Neil, where are you on this?
Well, anything that we do is going to be a big challenge because we've also got the Kansas Supreme Court. And so there's a number of different rulings that have taken place in the past. So, of course, I've got a strong opinion that and I would agree with Dorothy in the sense that we do need to take into consideration some factors that different school districts have different needs. At the same time, I don't know that we need – it might have made sense at one point in time to have 285 school districts. I don't know that that necessarily makes sense in 2016. And so I think that at the time that we craft a new formula, it's appropriate to review the administrative aspect of it and see if there's an opportunity there where we can streamline some of those functions and make them more efficient. According to the state constitution, suitable funding is what we should provide for each pupil throughout the state. But again, let local districts do what is appropriate for their district and what the electorate decide without any limitations, because we just can't have our local property tax so tied into the state formula. And I think that's where a lot of Johnson County residents have had significant frustration with the past formula.
Do you think now conservatives have put forward a plan that would have somewhat of an outcome-based part of the formula? Where are you on that?
I think you need to tread very lightly on those things. When you're talking about outcomes, I think a lot of that has to do with efficiencies. And if you're going to do any outcome-based things, you have to start where the people are and get a baseline for how those districts are doing. And, you know, I'm certainly open to reviewing different proposals out there for how we can encourage improvement, whatever level the district is at. But, you know, I haven't seen a ton at this point.
But I'm hearing you both say that you want to keep more Johnson County money in Johnson County. Is that a fair thing to say?
That's a pretty fair thing to say. I want to be clear that I'm not of the opinion that we should ignore the rest of the state. I think it's important for our resources to stay here, and my top priority is going to be Shawnee Mission School District in Johnson County. But we cannot just sit here holding our money and ignore the fact that all Kansas children need a suitable education.
Right. Neil, I mean, you would agree. I mean, the whole system is based on a statewide system. Certainly the Supreme Court would have something to say about keeping too much money in the wealthy Johnson County school districts. So what do you think about that?
Sure. And we have to have the appropriate balance. The way it works now is our district would, if the electorate in our district decided we wanted to spend money, you know, let's say on paying teachers more, you know, we would be bound to the state system the way that it is. And so there's limitations. And you know, the way I describe it, I don't want anybody's family to go hungry, but if you want to feed your family steak, I believe you should be able to do that.
All right. I want to move on down the line here. There's talk of rolling back some of the 2012 tax cuts. Top income tax rate was slashed in 2012. There are now some 334,000 businesses not paying income tax in the state. Even the governor kind of hinted a couple days ago that tax policy might need some adjustment. By the way, the District 21, pretty moderate district, I would say. The incumbent Barbara Boyer is a moderate. District went for both Paul Davis for governor and Obama in the last election. So, Neil, where are you on taxes?
Well, I think we need to definitely close the LLC loophole. I think that's something that's the easy place to start. I'm not of the opinion that we need to go and reverse the whole tax policy. That would result in what would be roughly a 30% increase on most Johnson County families. I believe we need to invest our money locally. I think that we need to put money into our own schools, invest in our own economic development. That's where I would like to see money go before we send more money out to Topeka. And so I am the LLC aspect, absolutely, but that's where it stops for me.
So you would not go back to the higher income tax
rate? The 6.5 top bracket, no.
Right.
I would not.
Dorothy, where are you on this?
Well, I think my opponent did say something accurate here, which is the LLC exemption is the easy place to start. But what we have ahead of us is not going to be easy. I think we do have to look farther than just LLCs. They're part of the problem, but fixing that is not going to fix the significant shortfalls that we've been facing month after month after month. I would like to look more at rolling back more of the 2012 tax plan. So I think I probably would go further than my opponent on that.
How far?
You know, I'd have to see the details of a plan put forth.
But closing the loopholes is only going to get us maybe, there's some estimates, about 40% to where we were with tax revenue before. Mm-hmm. So what I'm hearing you say, this necessarily means there needs to be a tax increase, or are you? Do you think there's efficiencies? Where do you think we get the rest of that dough?
We do have to revisit income tax, absolutely. We need to get back to a more fair structure that has a better distribution across income, property, and sales tax. You know, all of us have felt the pain of increased property and sales tax, and you've got some people paying nothing in income tax while others pay a lot, and that's just not fair. We've got to get back to that more even-keeled system across all three sources.
I want to get to the rules and regulations and elections here in a moment, but we've got a call from Barry in Leawood. Barry, what's your question?
Well, I'm very curious as to what the two candidates think about Secretary Kobach's war on voter fraud, which I think has been proven does not exist. But as of this morning, it looks like we may have 18,000 of our fellow citizens who are going to be disenfranchised from statewide races. And I was just wondering what their position would be if they were lucky enough to win a seat in the state legislature as to rolling back. Whether they would do that is the power that Kobach has been given by the legislature in his past two legislative sessions.
All right, Barry, great question. That's where I was going next. Apparently he could host the show if he's not doing anything else. So let's talk about this. I think in general I'm interested in hearing if you think Kansas is going in the right direction or the wrong direction when it comes to elections and voter access. Dorothy?
Wrong direction. For me, that's an easy answer. I'm very concerned about the policies that have been put forward that, as the caller said, are disenfranchising people. I think it's a mistake to try and cut people out of the democratic process. And to me, that appears that's what's happening.
Mm. Neil?
We had the highest voter turnout we've ever had in 2014. That's with these laws in place. I think it's appropriate for the state to craft whatever laws are necessary to ensure voter integrity. Now, there is something to be said for the fact that there's been little evidence of voter fraud cases, but you never know how much voter fraud is taking place when there's rules in place to stop it. And I think that there's evidence in other states where there are more lax laws that this might exist more. They made it very easy for people to provide these citizenship documents. And it's not as if these people are taken off. All they would have to do is start the process over again, fill out the form. They can text their citizenship documents to the Secretary of State. They made it about as easy as possible for people. And so I don't see a big problem here with putting some safeguards in place.
So you're yes on voter ID and yes on proving citizenship when you register to vote?
Yes.
Dorothy, yes or no on either of those?
No.
No on both. All right. I want to move on to guns. And I, Neil, just today I noticed that you were endorsed by the Kansas State Rifle Association, mm-hmm. PAC. Next year, about this time, anybody going to be able to conceal and carry on college campuses? So where are you? You guys, yes on conceal and carry on college campuses or no? And I'll start with you because you got endorsed today.
Well, I think there's already people that are concealing on college campuses. A no gun sign before any of the concealed carry laws were passed in Kansas, there were people already carrying. And so I'm personally not a big fan of open carry, but if it's concealed, nobody sees it. I don't think that it's a problem. And most law enforcement will tell you that people with concealed and carry weapons in situations where there's an active shooter, folks that are trained can really be beneficial in those situations and in fact do stop a lot of those situations from becoming more tragic.
Well, in fact, they're to conceal and carry in Kansas, you need no training, nor do you need a permit. So you don't think that having 18 and 19-year-olds carrying guns on campus has some inherent danger?
Well, I don't think that there's going to be an influx of people taking up arms, and that's what we've seen with as some of these laws have passed. Now, granted, I haven't been in the legislature when these laws have been passed, but I know there was talk in Prairie Village a couple years ago about Prairie Village turning into the Wild West. It just hasn't happened, and there's not significant crime data in other states, and really very little evidence of any crime data that would show that these types of laws have any impact. So, you know, if that were to change, then I would be open to it. But I'm looking at the crime data not only from our state but from other states as well.
Dorothy, where are you on guns here in Kansas?
I'm not in favor of guns on campus, and you know, this comes from my background. I've been a university employee. I have been a KU hospital employee, and I trust the hospital board. I trust our local governments to be making policies that are right for their communities, and I think the state has significantly overstepped in this regard.
And I want to go back. I mean, you clearly, with your military background, you have quite a bit of training. And I think that there are people who would certainly trust you carrying around a weapon. But don't you think that you're the exception in this, Neil?
Well, like I said, I just don't see a lot of people automatically taking up arms just because it's available. There's a self-preservation factor that kicks in. You're playing with fire, so people who do carry want to be trained there because they know that guns are dangerous. So, but a lot of the people that are you know, big gun advocates and want to conceal and carry, they do go out and get the training. A lot of them are ex-military, ex-law enforcement, current law enforcement, current military, and then other citizens who just, you know, have a real passion for firearms.
Yeah. Dorothy, if you're if you end up in the legislature, would you be for trying to roll back this conceal and carry on campus?
Absolutely. And well, and also you mentioned something earlier that I think is really important about the lack of permit and training to go along with concealed carry. And I have a big problem with that as well. You know, as my opponent said, you know, supposedly, you know, gun advocates, they want to seek training and, you know, be responsible. Well, if that's the case, then why did they push for a policy that got rid of training? You know, I see a contradiction in that. And I don't understand, you know, trying to pass policies that are in contradiction with this notion of responsible gun ownership.
Yeah. All right. Just one final issue I want to tackle here, and that is pro-life or pro-choice. I don't want to make it sound like a lightning round, but I do want to get you on the record on where you are on pro-life and pro-choice. Dorothy?
Well, I do want to say that I don't think that those labels accurately enough represent the very personal and emotional nature of this issue. If I have to choose a label, then I choose pro-choice. But I think we can all agree that abortion is a terrible thing. And I want to work on policies that reduce and hopefully someday eliminate abortions. But I really feel for anyone who's ever in the position to have to face that situation.
Neil, where are you on this?
Well, I'm pro-life, and you know, I realize that within the Republican Party there is a spectrum on this issue, and I feel that most of the laws that we've passed in our state, even though we are considered a very pro-life state relative to others, I feel that they are fairly reasonable. I don't believe that taxpayer money should be going towards abortion, and you know, things like minors having to get parental consent. I think these are pretty common sense issues that I think most folks, even if they are a little bit on the pro-choice side, will generally agree with.
Neil Melton, Dorothy Hughes, House District 21 of Northeast Johnson County. Thanks for coming in and talking with me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Sam.